This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, January 20th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We've seen them in sci-fi movies. Giant lasers shot up into the sky to defend the planet from danger. Well, now they could become a reality. An experiment on a Swiss mountaintop used lasers to divert the path of lightning. The discovery could help prevent dangerous lightning strikes. So, how does the tech behind these laser-guided moves work? And when will they be ready for wider use? Our science reporter, Eileen Woodward, joins us with the details. That's after these headlines. T-Mobile says hackers accessed data for about 37 million customers. The information included names, birth dates, and billing addresses, according to a regulatory filing from Thursday. The wireless carrier said it discovered the intrusion on January 5th and is working with law enforcement officials and cybersecurity consultants. T-Mobile said the perpetrator gained access through an API, or application programming interface, which can provide some customer information, not through T-Mobile's systems. The company said it shut down the activity within 24 hours of discovering it. This is the second major security breach it's acknowledged. Last year, the company said personal information regarding more than 50 million of its current, former, and prospective customers was found for sale online. It later raised that estimate to 76.6 million. Netflix has announced a change of leadership. Co-founder Reed Hastings plans to transition to executive chairman. He'll be replaced by Greg Peters, who will serve as co-CEO alongside Ted Sarandos. Peters most recently served as chief operating officer and was key to the company's swift launch of an ad-supported tier of service late last year. The transition comes as Netflix beat its forecast for subscriber growth. It added nearly 7.7 million new customers in the last quarter of the year. Revenue for the final 3 months of the year was $7.85 billion, up just under 2% from the same period a year earlier. It caps a tumultuous year for the streaming giant. In the first two quarters, Netflix surprised Wall Street by shedding customers in the face of growing competition. Uber's CEO said the company is working with car makers to design lower-cost electric vehicles tailored for its ride-hailing and delivery businesses. Dara Khosrowshahi made the comments at the World Economic Forum in Switzerland. Uber is working to convert the fleet of vehicles its drivers use to electric by 2030 in many places around the world, and in some places such as London by 2025. Khosrowshahi spoke about the kinds of characteristics the vehicles need.
For ride sharing, one is the passenger area, sometimes passengers facing each other. I do think that top speeds, for example, top speeds that many cars have are not necessary for city driving that's associated with ride share. We're also talking about purpose-built vehicles for delivery, right? You can imagine smaller vehicles, two-wheelers, three-wheelers that have trunk space that can get through traffic easier and have a much smaller footprint, both in terms of environmental but also traffic footprint, than, let's say, a car to go and deliver groceries. Those are the various areas we're looking at.
Khosrowshahi declined to say which car makers the company is working with, though Uber has previously said it's working in the UK with electric vehicle maker Arrival. Crypto lender Genesis is preparing to file for bankruptcy within days, according to people familiar with the matter. Genesis, owned by the crypto conglomerate Digital Currency Group, is one of many digital asset firms struggling to survive since crypto prices plummeted last year. Our finance reporter Julie Steinberg has more.
The lender suffered steep losses from loans it gave to the now-defunct trading firm Alameda Research and crypto hedge fund Three Arrows Capital, both of which filed for bankruptcy last year. Genesis has been considering filing for bankruptcy for months, and the firm laid off 30% of its staff earlier this month. A company spokesperson said that was to navigate unprecedented industry challenges.
Representatives for Genesis and its parent, DCG, didn't respond to requests for comment. Moelis, the investment bank working with Genesis, didn't comment. Meanwhile, we report exclusively, FTX's new CEO, John J. Ray, is looking into the possibility of reviving the bankrupt crypto exchange while also working to return money to the company's customers and creditors. Ray said he set up a task force to explore restarting FTX.com, the company's main international exchange. Although top executives have been accused of criminal misconduct, some customers have praised FTX's technology and suggested there would be value in rebooting the platform, according to Ray. Since taking over in November, he and his team have been combing through more than 30 terabytes of FTX data in search of money to return to customers. He said the firm discovered new wallets in the past week alone. All right, coming up, the saying goes, lightning never strikes the same place twice. But new technology might have some control over where it does strike. We'll explain after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
One of the biggest leaps in lightning protection technology since Ben Franklin came up with the lightning rod was announced this week. For the first time, an international group of researchers demonstrated that it was possible to use lasers to guide the path of lightning. These findings could help open new ways for protecting people, landscapes, and businesses from lightning damage and destruction. Joining us to discuss this experiment is our science reporter, Island Woodward. Hi, Island. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So just before we get into how this technology works, can you give us a sense of just how damaging lightning strikes can be?
Absolutely. So while the statistics vary somewhat, lightning can cause thousands of casualties per year. And it also can be damaging to buildings and infrastructure, airports, and it can also actually delay rocket launches. Places like NASA have very strict launch weather criteria in place where if a strike happens within a certain amount of time and a certain amount of distance of a rocket launch, it can delay that launch.
Okay, so let's talk a bit about this experiment. Lasers were used to guide the pathway of lightning. Can you talk to us a little bit about how that worked? I mean, I assume these weren't just like regular laser pointers.
So the laser that was used in this particular study was built specifically for this experimental campaign. It's a prototype laser about the size of a car, and it's a very high-powered laser that's capable of sending out these short, intense pulses along a laser beam. And they assembled this laser at the top of a Swiss peak next to an existing telecommunications tower that was about 124 meters tall. And at the top of that telecommunications tower, there was already a lightning rod existing. And the concept behind sort of laser-guided lightning, as it were, is that this high-powered laser and the short, intense pulses that come out of it, they're capable of heating the air and ionizing the air. The reason for this is that lightning is actually a fairly arbitrary process. It's the result of opposing electrical charges and clouds and the ground and everything in between. And the connection of those two is what creates a lightning strike. But the way this laser technology works is that we're artificially creating sort of these preferred pathways that lightning will take instead that we can then guide to where we want, which in this case happened to be a lightning rod.
Are there other technologies in use at the moment that can guide where lightning goes?
Sure. So the most common lightning protection device is actually the same one that's been around for almost 300 years. It was devised by Benjamin Franklin, and it's called a Franklin rod, appropriately named, and it's an electrically conductive metallic stick that's on the tops of buildings. It's used in like city skylines and things, and what it does is it sort of helps provide a path for lightning strikes to safely follow to the ground. The problem with a traditional lightning rod, the researchers explained to me, is that they can only offer limited protection. So if you place a rod that's 10 meters high, it can only protect a radius of 10 meters. And that doesn't really work so well if you want to protect like a rocket launch pad or an airport or other sensitive installations like a power plant. It's great for a house, but it's not great for sort of these sprawling sensitive installations.
Okay, so this was the first time this was done successfully outside. What's the next step then for this kind of technology?
So in this particular experiment, they did it in the wild. They showed that they were capable of guiding lightning. Previous experiments, they were sort of guiding the electrical equivalent of lightning, but it wasn't lightning. It was in a lab, and it was only over distances of like 2 meters, for instance. Here, they did it with real lightning for a distance of up to 60 meters, nearly 200 feet. And so the next step now is to make that 200-foot distance even longer. So to be able to guide lightning for hundreds of meters, if not kilometers. One of the researchers would really like to take this laser and bring it down to sort of sea level, so off the mountaintop, and test it near an airport, sort of in a situation in which they hope that it'll one day be applicable for. And in order to really achieve these next step results, they think they need a higher energy laser, which might necessitate a bigger laser. But either way, they mentioned that, you know, the commercial applications for this is at least a decade out, if not more.
So then how significant was this test overall if the possible uses are at least 10 years away?
The way both the study authors and other physicists who were not involved in the research explained it to me is that it's really a proof of concept. One of them likened it to the recent results out of a U.S. lab regarding nuclear fusion, where they sort of showed that it was possible to get more energy out than you put into a nuclear fusion experiment. They say the same concept here is that this was something that they had been striving to achieve, laser-guided lightning, since almost the inception of the laser, like 50, 60 years ago. But it had never really been demonstrated as possible until now. So now that it's been demonstrated, a lot of the thought process here is that this space will see a lot more investment. There'll be a lot more research now that they know it can be done. It's just a matter of tweaking the laser to make longer distances possible and then working towards maybe smaller lasers, maybe making it so assembling it isn't quite so difficult, and steps like that.
All right, that was our science reporter, Aylin Woodward. Aylin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Zoe.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Our executive producer is Chris Sinsley. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.